Colin Noble asked a silent question, and Parker answered with a curt nod of affirmative. "All right, Peter," Colin said. "A little while back, you asked for hard facts. I promised to give you a few." Peter turned back from the window and waited. Item 1. During the time that Gilly O'Shaughnessy held Melissa Jane in Lara, 2 telephone calls were made from the old manse. They were both international calls. They both went through the local telephone exchange. The first call was made at 7 p.m. local time on the 1st of this month. That would have been the first day they could have reached the hideout. We have to guess it was an all-well report to the top management. The second call was exactly 7 days later, again at 7 o'clock local time precisely, to the same number. We have to guess that it was another report. All is still well. Both calls were less than 1 minute in duration, just time enough to pass a prearranged code message. Colin broke off and looked again at Kingston Parker. "Go on," Parker instructed. "The calls were to a French number, Rambouillet 478747. Peter felt it hit him in the stomach, a physical blow, and he flinched his head. For a moment, closing both his eyes tightly, he had called that number so often, the numerals were graven on his memory. "No," he shook his head and opened his eyes. "I'm not going to believe it."
"It's true, Peter," Parker said gently.
Peter walked back to his seat. His legs felt rubbery and shaky under him. He sat down heavily. The room was completely silent. Neither of the other two looked directly at Peter Stride. Kingston Parker made a gesture to Colin, and obediently he slid the red box file tied with red tapes across the cheap vinyl-topped table. Parker untied the tapes and opened the file. He shuffled the papers, scanning them swiftly. Clearly he was adept at speed reading and was able to assimilate each typed double-spaced page at a glance. But now he was merely waiting for Peter to recover from the shock. He knew the contents of the red file almost by heart. Peter Stride slumped in the steel-framed chair with its uncushioned wooden seat, staring sightlessly at the bulletin board on the opposite wall, on which were posted the Thor rosters. He found it hard to ride the waves of dismay that flooded over him. He felt chilled and numbed. The depth of this betrayal devastated him. And when he closed his eyes again, he had a vivid image of the slim, tender body with a childlike breasts peeping through a silken curtain of dark hair. He straightened in his seat, and Kingston Parker recognized the moment and looked up at him, half closing the file and turning it towards him. The cover bore the highest security gradings available to Atlas Command, and below them was typed, "Altman Magda Irene, born Kuczynski." Peter realized that he had never known her second name was Irene. Magda Irene, hell, they were really ugly names, made special only by the woman who bore them. Parker turned the file back to himself and began to speak quietly. "When last you and I met, I told you of the special interest we had in this lady. That interest has continued unabated since then. Or rather, it has gathered strength with every fresh item of information that has come to us." He opened the file again and glanced at it as if to refresh his memory. "Colin has been very successful in enlisting the full cooperation of the intelligence agencies of both our countries, who in turn have been able to secure that of the French and, believe it or not, the Russians. Between the 4 countries, we have been able to at last piece together the woman's history." He broke off. "Remarkable woman," and shook his head in admiration. "Quite incredible, really. I can understand how she's able to weave spells around any man she chooses. I can understand, Peter, your evident distress." "I'm going to be utterly blunt now. We have no time nor space in which to maneuver tactfully around your personal feelings. We know that she has taken you as a lover. You notice that I phrase that carefully.
Baroness Altman takes lovers, not the other way round. She takes lovers deliberately and with careful forethought. I have no doubt that once she has made the decision, she accomplishes the rest of it with superb finesse. Peter remembered her coming to him, and the exact words she had used. "I'm not very good at this, Peter, and I want so badly to be good for you." The words had been chosen with the finesse that Kingston Parker had just spoken of. They were exactly turned to make herself irresistible to Peter, and afterwards she had given the gentle lie to them with the skill and devilish cunning of her hands and mouth and body. You see, Peter, she had special and expert training in all the arts of love. There are probably few women in the Western world who know as much about reading a man and then pleasing him. What she knows, she did not learn in Paris or London or New York. Kingston Parker paused and frowned at Peter. "This is all theory and hearsay, Peter. You are in a better position to say just how much of it is false." The ultimate skill in pleasing a man is to fuel his own belief in himself, Peter thought, as he returned Parker's inquiring gaze with expressionless eyes. He remembered how with Magda Altman he had felt like a giant, capable of anything. She had made him feel like that with a word, a smile, a gift, a touch. That was the ultimate skill. He did not answer Parker's question. "Go on, please, Kingston," he invited. Externally, he had himself completely under control now. His right hand lay on the tabletop, with the fingers half open, relaxed. "I told you that even as a child she showed special talents in languages, mathematics. Her father was an amateur mathematician of some importance. Chess and other games of skill. She attracted attention. Especially, she attracted attention because her father was a member of the Communist Party." Parker broke off as Peter lifted his head in sharp inquiry. "I'm sorry, Peter, we did not know that when we last met. We have learnt it since from the French. They have access to the party records in Paris, and it was confirmed by the Russians themselves. Apparently the child used to accompany her father to meetings of the party, and soon showed a precocious political awareness and understanding. Her father's friends were mostly party members, and after his death, there still remains a mystery around his death. Neither the French nor the Russians are forthcoming on the subject. Anyway, after his death, Magda Kuczynski was cared for by these friends. It seemed she was passed on from family to family." Kingston Parker slid a postcard-sized photograph from a marbline envelope and passed it across the table to Peter. "From this period." It showed a rather skinny girl in short skirts and dark stockings, wearing the yoked collar and straw bonnet of the French schoolgirl. Her hair was in two short braids, tied with ribbons, and she held a small, fluffy white dog in her arms. The background was a Parisian summer park scene, with a group of men playing boule and chestnut trees in full leaf. The child's face was delicately featured with huge, beautiful eyes, somehow wise and compassionate beyond her age, and yet still imbued with the fresh innocence of childhood. "You can see she already had all the markings of spectacular beauty," Kingston Parker grunted, and reached across to take back the photograph. For a moment, Peter's fingers tightened instinctively. He would have liked to have kept it, but he relaxed and let it go. Parker glanced at it again, then slipped it back into the envelope. "Yes, she attracted much interest, and very soon an uncle from the old country wrote to her. There were photographs of her father and the mother she'd never known, anecdotes of her infancy and her father's youth. The child was enchanted. She had never known she had an uncle. Her father had never spoken of his relatives, but now at last the orphan found she had family. It took only a few more letters, exchanges of delight and affection, and then it was all arranged. The uncle came to fetch her in person, and Magda Kuczynski went back to Poland." Parker spread his hands. "It was easy as that." The missing years, Peter said, and his voice sounded strange in his own ears. He cleared his throat and shifted uncomfortably under Parker's piercing but understanding gaze. No longer missing, Peter. We've been fed a little glimmering of what happened during those years, and we've been able to fill in the rest of it from what we knew already. The Russians? Peter asked. And when Parker nodded, Peter went on with a bitter tang to his voice. They seem to be very forthcoming, don't they? I've never heard of them passing information, at least not valuable information, so readily. They have their reasons in this case, Parker demurred. Very good reasons, as it turns out, but one will come to those in due course. Very well. The child returned with her uncle to Poland, Warsaw. And there was an extravagant family reunion. We are not certain if this was her real family or whether the child was provided with a foster family for the occasion. In any event, the uncle soon announced that if Magda would submit to examination, there was an excellent chance that she would be provided with a scholarship to one of the elite colleges of the USSR. We can imagine that she passed her examination with great distinction, and her new masters must have congratulated themselves on their discovery. The college is on the shores of the Black Sea near Odessa. It does not have a name nor an old school tie. The students are very specially selected. The screening is rigorous, and only the brightest and most talented are enrolled. They are soon taught that they are an elite group and are streamed in the special direction that their various talents dictate. In Magda's case, it was languages and politics, finance and mathematics. She excelled, and at the age of 17, graduated to a higher, more specialized branch of the Odessa College. There, she was trained in special memory techniques. The already bright mind was honed down to a razor edge. I understand that one of the less difficult exercises was to be given access to a list of 100 diverse items for 60 seconds. The list had to be repeated from memory in the correct order 24 hours later. Parker shook his head again, expressing his admiration. At the same time, she was also trained to fit naturally into upper-class international Western society. Dress, food, drink, cosmetics, manners, popular music, literature, cinema, theatre, democratic politics, business procedures, the operation of stocks and commodity markets, the more mundane secretarial skills, modern dancing, the art of lovemaking and pleasuring men, that and much else, all of it taught by experts. Flying, skiing, weapons, the rudiments of electronics and mechanical engineering, and every other skill that a top-class agent might have to call upon. She was the star of her course, and emerged from it much as the woman you know. Poised, skilled, beautiful, motivated, and deadly.